Are you guys enjoying the Advent?
Yes.
Talking about nativity, talking about Jesus, God's plan for us and everything. Amen. So, I'm going to share a message this morning because next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of Advent that we're gonna finish as a Christmas service. Please invite people to come. We are gonna do the worship. The worship is gonna be special with carol songs, but not in a traditional way, kind of a rock and roll way. But we are gonna try to sing songs that give the characteristics of Christmas. And so, next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of Advent that we're going to finish with our Christmas service. And today I want to talk to you about there is still no place for him today. That's the theme of the message today, and you are going to understand why this theme. If you have a Bible, please open up your Bible in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. Luke chapter 2. Wow, you guys are connected. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. We're going to be reading here a New King James Version. So if you don't have a Bible, please buy one. All right. Okay. Let's read. Are you there?
Yes.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. She was pregnant. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a very comfortable bed in the hospital. And she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Say with me, there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watching over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, wow. What a powerful passage. Just by reading it, our heart is full of God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
When we read this passage, friend, one question actually comes to our mind. Does Jesus have a place today in people's lives? Absolutely not, in general, of course. People are so engaged in general, so many things, important or not, that they have no time for Jesus. In a recent survey, 70% of our children do not know what Christmas is all about. That means that people don't talk about Jesus, Christianity, and all these spiritual things. This is a shame. Do you know why? It's simply because our Savior still has no place in people's hearts. And my question today is, does God have space in your life, in your family, in your house, in your day-by-day living? Or are we still putting Him in a manger? Friends, Jesus was in a manger not because He was poor, not because Joseph didn't have any money to pay for the inn. No, He was a carpenter. Say with me, Joseph was a carpenter. Do you know some carpenter? Do you know any carpenter? They have a lot of money, especially in this country, because this is a very well-paid job. Well-paid job. And those who, I did it, by the way, okay? You can see I'm not a carpenter. But why did I do this? Because to pay for a carpenter to do this is a lot of money. So I know roughly how to do that. I tried and I did my best.
DIY.
So. I did my best. And my dad used to say, when you do your best, even the angels couldn't do better than you.
Yeah.
I love that word. So I did my best. But Joseph was a carpenter. He used to have money. He did have money to pay for the inn. But there was no place for Jesus. And the message today is Jesus still not having place in people's hearts today? That's the question today. So when we meditate in this word, we just come to some things, some thoughts. And I want to go through this now. Let's meditate on this passage. First point I want to talk to you this morning. The first shelter provided for him was in a very dirty place. Stable. Where cows and sheep used to be. So the smelling of grass, the smelling of poo, the smelling of, you know, animals was there. So now when we go to visit a new baby, you can see a nice bedroom, smelling good, even though sometimes baby poo also, you know, and make a mess in the bedroom. But normally it's smelling good, smelling well, nice color, you know, some toys hanging around that place, totally prepared for that baby. But there was not anything prepared for our Jesus. So he was put in the shelter they provided. They said there is no place for him in the inn, but there is a space there behind the building. You can find there some space where we put some sheep. There's no animal there tonight. You can use there. And they put Jesus there, the Savior of the world. So, but why didn't God prepare a good place as a king for him? Simply because he didn't come to show himself as a king. He came to be in a humble way, to live his life here and show his love and humbleness. And through this attitude, in the end, he should die for us to give us life and eternal life. Amen? So the first place they provide for him was a very dirty place. But friend, there is a meaning for that. There is a meaning for that. There was to show that he came with humbleness entirely. Say with me, entirely. Not just part of him, entirely for the lost and impure. Like you and me. He came for us. He came for us because we were impure, we were lost, we were dirty because of the sin, but he was put in there just to show up to the world that he came for a place where it's dirty to clean it up by his blood. Wow. Amen? Amen? What an amazing message, isn't it? Jesus came first for those who had no hope, no love. They were no clean. And how hard, friends, how hard to be not to have a shower. How hard to be dirty. I don't think people are dirty because they like it. In the place where we stayed in Greece, not where we stayed, but we worked with the center, the organization, they queue up every morning. When we used to go there, to come there every morning, there was a queue every single morning. They were waiting for a ticket that allows them to have a shower and clothes there and wash their clothes. Can you imagine this? Only one shower a week. That is what the organization can do for them. And this is just a little point in the whole picture. We are talking about a population about 16,000 people, 16,000 refugees in the same place, friends. And people queue up to have a shower every morning because people don't like dirty stuff. People don't like keeping themselves dirty. They look for something that will clean them up. So what they did here, they put Jesus in this place, in a very dirty place, just to give an example that he came for the dirty. He came for the impure. He came for those who need to clean it up, their mess. And in this group was you and me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, because one day we found Jesus, and when we find Jesus, our life is not the same again. Amen?
Amen.
Can I hear me?
Amen.
Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because here he's talking about Jesus, okay? Jesus talking about himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's why he came. That's why he came. In other words, he came to clean up our mess. Amen?
Amen.
So when he was a baby, he didn't realize that circumstance. But later on, he knew that when he was born, they put him in a very dirty place. And he said, Do you know why they put me in this place? Because actually I came for the dirty people. I came for those who need to clean up their mess. I came to bring salvation into the world. I didn't come for good people. Jesus didn't come for perfect people. Jesus didn't come for those who say, "I'm okay, I'm fine. I don't need Jesus. I don't need church. I don't need anything. I'm okay. I'm fine. I have money. I have my job. I have this. I have that. Some people, they say like this. They say, I don't need, why do I need Jesus? Why do I need God? My God is my money, my position, my job, my family. But for those who say, Lord, I need your mercy. Lord, I'm very dirty. I'm very impure. Lord, I'm not a good guy. I'm not a good guy at all. Could you please clean me up? And Jesus came to clean you up.
Amen.
To give you a new life.
Amen.
Amen? Number two, despite being born in a stable, this is very important. Despite being born in a stable, it didn't change who he was. The circumstances Jesus was in that day, and people came to see him. Kings came to see him. Other pastors came to see him. People started to come and bring him gifts. But there was not a sofa. There was not coffee. There was no biscuits to offer to all the visitors. Because there was a very improvised place. But despite of being in that dirty place, it didn't change who he was. He was still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our God, our Savior, the one who was, he is, and it should be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no circumstance in your life that can change who God is. If he provides everything, he is God. If he doesn't provide, he is still God.
Amen.
Yeah. If you are in the desert, he is God. If you are not in the desert, he is still God. If you are in need, he is God. If you are not in need, he is still King of Kings. He is our God. Nothing can change his position. He's wonderful. We spoke 2 Sundays ago. He's wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And that word was said about him 740 years before he actually come. 700 years before he comes, this word was said about him. A baby will come. A baby will come to you. A son will be born. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So despite of being a manger, despite of being a stable, despite of the smell in that place, nothing could change who he is. He is still God. He is still Jesus. He is still the second person.
Came to him, man, are you planning to be atheist for the rest of your life? He said, yeah, by God's grace. It's impossible to change who God is. It's impossible to put him down. It's impossible to put him lower. Never underestimate Jesus' power. He can do anything. He did it in my life. He did it in my family. He did in so many people in this room, and he's still doing that. He died on a cross over 2,000 years ago, and he's still alive. He's still giving life. He's still resurrecting people from the dead. Because he is still God. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 says it over 700 years before he actually comes. Now, ladies, when they are expecting for a baby, they spend all the 9 months preparing the bedroom, preparing the place, buying car seats, buying trolleys, you know?
Pram.
Buggies. When they go to, yes, because they need trolleys. But when Jesus arrived, there wasn't anything prepared for him. And the money was in Joseph's pocket. Didn't solve it. Actually, they didn't pay attention about the Savior that just came. They were just living their lives. Friends, let me tell you something. Is there any similarity with this circumstance today? Jesus is already here. Jesus is still here. And people are enjoying life, going to shopping centers, going to the beach. Nothing wrong about this. I do this also, especially with my grandchildren. They love it. And they love going around. Granddad, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I just go there and say, no, 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 no. Because if I buy everything they ask for, I need to be rich. You know? They ask for so many things. We end up in Wilco and we buy some lollipops. It's cheaper. That is what my money can buy. But Joseph's money could not solve the problem in that day. They just said there is no space for him. There is no space for him in. If you want, there is a space behind there where we put sheep. Number 3, in the last one. If he brought glory into the stable, imagine what he can do in your life. If he transformed a simple, dirty, smelling stable in a place of God's glory, what could we do for you? Think about it. Think about it. If he brought glory, because the word says, look at this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. All the angels, all the hosts of angels, they were there singing about the king. But the king was in a manger in a stable. So if Jesus brought his glory into a stable, a dirty place, how could you do in your life? Maybe your life today is smelling like a stable. Maybe you are not so pure today. Maybe there is something making you dirty today. Maybe you are feeling dirty today. But let me tell you something. There is nothing, there is no mess that Jesus cannot sort it out.
if he brought his glory into a dirty stable, he can do too much for your life. You can become pure again. You can become, you know, clean again. You can become straight again in the name of Jesus. Amen? So think about it. What are you going to say? What are you going to say today? The same thing they said over 2,000 years ago, there is no place for him? Or are you going to say no? At the second time, we are not going to put him in a manger. Now, I'm going to give him the best place in the world. Your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Maybe you are dirty. Maybe you are impure. Maybe you don't deserve any grace. But your heart deserves Jesus. Your heart was made for Jesus. And Jesus was made for your heart. One was made for the other. And both together can make you clean. Can transform you from a stable, dirty stable, into a palace, into an altar where the glory of God comes. Amen? Think about it. Jesus came for the impure, filthy, and despised. So be open to him today. Don't let devil prevail in your life. How many times devil say to you, are you going to church again? After everything you did this week? Are you going to take communion this morning after you say this and this and this and this and this? Because this is his profession. This is devil's function to accuse you. But the one who was in the manger, he came to banish, to destroy every accusation against your life. In Colossians, Paul says that the document of debt that was against you, he tore it. They don't owe anything. I paid their debt in full. Thank you very much. In full. In full. Amen. So this is our God. When we say Jesus, we are not saying about any other, you know, philosopher, any other great guy. Jesus didn't come to do example, to be an example. No. What he did is impossible to do by ourselves. But he came to save the world. He came to clean up the dirty one and make him pure and make her pure. Amen. Amen? Amen? How many people in this room could say today, I was very dirty when I came to Jesus? I was very dirty when I came to Jesus. Oh, wow. What a day. What a day. I remember some of you guys, because some of you guys found Jesus in this place. I remember some of you guys, the day you came to Jesus, you came like in a mess. Your life was totally a dirty stable. But when the glory of Jesus comes, when the glory of Jesus comes, friends, let me tell you something. Do you know at the Christmas time people use lights everywhere, in front of the house, lights. Have you been in Oxford Street?
Yes.
Wow! Regent Street?
Yeah.
Marlowe's? Still. Stillness. It's not like in the same level, but we're getting there. Why lights everywhere? Because Christmas is all about Jesus, who brought light into the darkness. Who cleaned something that was dirty. That's why we spend all these Sundays talking about the plan of redemption. We're not here just talking about Jesus and singing carol songs every Sunday. No, we are not here for that. We are here to consider His life, what He has done in our lives. How many of you in this room was very dirty, was in a mess, and Jesus sort it out in your life? Stand up with me, please. I'm not saying stand up if you are pure, if you are perfect. No, those who were in a mess, but one day Jesus changed your life forever. The last verse I want to read for you is this. Revelation 3:20 that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and die with him and he with me." Jesus is at the door today. And He's saying, "I'm just knocking the door. If you open the door for me, if you don't say things that they said in the past, but you say, 'Oh, yes, Jesus, there is a place for you today. I'm not going to put you in a manger anymore. Now you have the best place in the world. My heart. My heart.'" If you are here today, and you feel yourself like a dirty space, dirty place, like a stable, undeserving God's glory, let me tell you something. Jesus is here today to clean your mess up. Only invite Him to come to your heart. Only say, "Jesus, I'm not going to say the same words they said to you 2,000 years ago. I'm going to say in a different way. If you can use my heart, the door is open for you now."